Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, talking to you today from a very gloomy and wet Vancouver morning. Unfortunately, spring has hit us full speed, but I do have the sunshine, so to speak, of talking with a delightful colleague from the University of Aberdeen School of Medicine and Dentistry. Her name is Kirsty Alexander, and she's nearing the end of her PhD in this field, and we're going to talk today about a paper she has coming out in the June issue of Medical Education entitled Why Not You? Discourses of Widening Access on UK Medical School Websites. Kirsty, you're just before vacation, so I appreciate you squeezing this in before you run off.
Delighted to do so. Thank you.
This is your first paper, as I understand, coming from your PhD thesis. So let me start by saying congratulations, and I hope your studies are going well.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, well, I was delighted that it was accepted in medical education. It was a really fun and interesting study to do, and I'm really enjoying the PhD, so couldn't ask for more, really.
That's great. There are many who are trying to go through a PhD who are desiring of much more, so I'm
always
glad to hear that it's going well for someone. This paper suggests it is going quite well. It's, as the title implies, focusing on widening access. Can you tell our listeners a bit about that policy and how you're trying to focus your studies in that context?
Yeah, sure. Broadly, it's about increasing diversity in the student intake, and that's increasing diversity to underrepresented groups. So that could be students with disabilities or mature students, students leaving the statutory care system, ethnic minority students, students from lower socioeconomic groups. It's really quite a wide list. And it's an issue that's really affecting medicine internationally. So in the US, when people talk about increasing diversity, they're really often talking about reducing disparities for racial and ethnic disparities. Whereas maybe in US or over with you in Canada, they might also be talking about including indigenous populations. But here in the UK, we really focus on socioeconomic disparities and including students from lower socioeconomic groups in medicine. And really that's tied up with cultural and historical issues of the country. There's a pressure for medical schools to widen access, to increase diversity, and that's really for two kind of main issues. One, to increase social mobility. So say no matter which background you come from, as an individual, you have the right to be able to access medicine as a career if you have the abilities that make you suitable. And the second, to try and enhance patient care and improve the workforce by creating, you know, a medical profession that is both reflective of the population it serves and has a good understanding of that population.
And just to be clear, this is more than an effort to try to make sure that certain groups are not being biased or discriminated against, but rather to proactively seek the diversity that you're describing. Is that encouragement coming from a government organization, coming from the individual medical schools, or is it just part of the culture at this point?
Well, I think a bit of all of those. It is both about reducing discrimination, but also about trying to sort of reap the benefits of diversity. Yes, medical schools are under pressure from government policy to do this, but I think it also follows sort of wider trends in society and culture, which as opening up to the ideas of diversity and the enrichments that that can bring. So yeah, a bit of everything, I think.
And you took a fairly unique approach to trying to understand how these policies or activities were being implemented and encouraged, a discourse analysis of the individual schools' websites. Why did that seem like the most appealing way of looking at this issue as opposed to what might be more typical, which would be to gather a number of people from those schools and start talking with them?
Well, basically, we were really interested in the idea of widening access, and that on a kind of theoretical level, the ideas that it's wrapped up with, ideas of equality and diversity and fairness, are quite easy to agree on, or many people agree that they're laudable, valuable terms. But in practice, they can be a bit more tricky. What we wanted to do is really look at how widening access, the value of it, was communicated on a very practical level. The reason we chose websites is perhaps a little unusual, but we thought that they are very, very visible forms of communication, and they're often forms of communication which a lot of thought has gone into. So these are messages which the school has really thought about what they want to say in these messages. But they're very visible, and young people use them much more than we might expect. There was a study done in the UK which showed that over 90% of students will use websites when making a decision about university. So it seemed like it was a medium of communication which was used very widely by the type of people who the medical schools were trying to attract. And so we thought it was an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously you did a bit more than, you know, simply hitting the link and reading through the page. Can you give us some sense of what you thought to be the key methodological factors that allowed you to do this in a rigorous way?
Yeah, sure. The methodology that we used was critical discourse analysis, which is increasingly used within medical education, but maybe still an outsider. So discourses are basically the way that we talk about things. So, I mean, a very simplified example might be if we're talking about immigration, well, there might be discourses of immigration that talk about it beneficial to the economy and it stimulates cultural diversity. But there may also be discourses which talk about it as a threat or as a danger to cultural norms. And so you can see that within one topic, you can talk about that same topic in two very different ways. And so we wanted to look at how the value of widening access was being talked about on these pages and thinking about what implications that could have for the readership. So discourses are really interesting because they not only reflect what's going on in real life, as it were, but they also shape what's happening as well. So we can think about the ways that we communicate, whether that's talking or text or websites or, I don't know, posting a selfie on social media, and thinking about how that changes the way that we ourselves and other people perceive the world, perceive that message, how the implications it might have for the way that we act and the way that we think. Because discourses have a big role in sanctioning what is decided legitimate, what we decide is widely accepted in a culture when we're talking about a specific issue, for example, widening access, and what is maybe termed as taboo or marginalized ways of thinking about it. And discourses, they like to hide in the assumed. Mm-hmm. So they entrench their power and their position by making it seem like no one ever questions the way that they present the world, whilst they're actually just nudging the other ways of thinking out of the way. So our approach uses the theory of Michel Foucault, and the methodology looks at exposing these discourses, so taking them out of the realm of assumed and being able to examine them for these effects that they might have on people in terms of how they think and act. And when we don't try and link language directly to thought or mental state, but it means that we can speculate about the implications that the way that we are communicating about widening access may have for the readership.
One of the dominant discourses that seem to come out of your effort to do that, you've labeled social justice for the individual. What was the phrase you used? Hiding in the assumed. That seems to suggest an inherent good. Social justice for the individual seems like a very positive thing. What are some of the implications that you saw arising from adopting that discourse?
Yes, there were really two discourses that we revealed in the paper about widening access, or the way that people are using to describe the value of widening access. And one of those is social mobility for the individual. And you're absolutely right. It is definitely a good thing. And when we think about it on a theoretical level, we say it's giving everybody the opportunity, no matter what their background, to have the opportunity to access medicine if they have the ability to do so. But it can be a little problematic if we think about the implications that it can have if it's very strongly the only discourse that is used. For example, we looked at how the potential applicant is positioned within this discourse. So, well, it's not as strong as a role, but let's say what kind of a role they are given in this discourse. And that is that the medical school is shown as the provider, as the facilitator. And you can see this in language because we can see that they are encouraging or helping, supporting, providing to students. And they are the one with the power to give, whereas the student is positioned as the sole beneficiary of widening access. And that ties into wider discourses of deficit, which people have talked a lot about more widely in the area of widening access. But when we talk about deficit, we're saying the student is somehow lacking something which medical schools are giving them. So that student needs something from the medical school, needs to be topped up to be an acceptable standard. And by strongly using the discourse, we can see how it's legitimizing this positioning of the students in that way. And evidence for that can be seen in the testimonials that are used on the web pages. So, you know, when the students are saying, I did this outreach activity and I enjoyed it or didn't, we can see them saying things like, I'm so privileged to be given this opportunity. I'm so grateful. I couldn't have done it without it. And we know that students who come from lower socioeconomic groups may already feel that they don't fit into medicine. And then when they actually get into medicine, they may find it more difficult to fit in. And if we use discourses which highlight their deficit, we may not be working to encourage them to consider medicine as something that would be suitable for them.
So not doing much to encourage the higher aspirations that have been pointed out as maybe being a fundamental barrier to getting some of these individuals into the system, so to speak.
I guess essentially it may be not working to reassure applicants from diverse backgrounds that diversity is valued within medical education, that they have something to contribute or encourage them to apply.
I know with most efforts at discourse analysis, there's a very deliberate effort to not say that one discourse is right versus another that's wrong. But from this work, are you coming to any conclusions about what medical schools might do better with their websites in order to help them fulfill the goals that they appear to have?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we, again, don't say one thing is right and one thing is wrong. What we found was that the discourse of social mobility for the individual was very strongly presented, whereas the discourse which talks about widening access for improving the workforce was very marginalized. And perhaps that was surprising for us to see that, because quite often they're used in tandem. So the disparity was very interesting. I think the fact that medical schools didn't use any indications of the value that students with diversity were bringing to widening access maybe implies to readers that these things are not valued. And that is not to say that medical schools do not value them, but we are saying you are not communicating that you are valuing them. And I think this paper really highlights, you know, the importance of us as a community to sort of reflect and reevaluate on our assumptions. Are we really saying what we want to say? And are the things that we are saying really carrying along with them the values that we want to promote? And do we need to rethink those things to achieve our goals? Because at the moment, I think these pages are not really saying that they value diversity. And it's important for readers, and the implications this has for them, that you really say what you think.
That seems like good advice for any number of contexts, so probably a good spot for us to wrap up. I know there's a lot more detail in the paper, but as always, we'll have to direct listeners to the paper for those details. Again, the title is Why Not You? Discourses of Widening Access on UK Medical School Websites. The first author I've been speaking with is Kirsty Alexander, and you'll find it in the June 2017 issue of Medical Education. Thanks, Kirsty, very much for such an interesting conversation and overview of your paper, and we'll look forward to the completion of your PhD and hearing where things have gone for you.
Thank you very much for having me.